Okay. So we're up to the discussion in terms of who is pater mishum mitzvah. So yesterday we discussed the difference between maybe a regular mitzvah versus a hechsher mitzvah and how that might play a role in defining who's going to be pater. Today let's go back to just the pashup shot in the Mishnah and try to understand two things here. Number one is, what is the case of the Shliach Beis Din? It's very hard to define the case. According to the Rishonim, they're not so convinced that it's one specific case, as we'll see. And the second thing is the difference between Ha'ava Maka Espinova, Rabbi Rodes Talmido on one hand, and the concept of Shliach Beis Din on the other hand. Perhaps we're going to differentiate between that as well. So let's take a look in the Ramban. If you have your Chiddushi Ramban here, please take it out. The Ramban references a Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma. So he starts off, he says, Kosha li time. So he says, Time hu mishum mitzvah hu da'avid, halav hachi goli. So he says, if you read the flow of the Mishnah, so we're talking about Ava Makes Beno, a Rodes Tamido, the Shliach Bezin. There's three things that are listed over there. So clearly, Ava Makes Beno and Rav Rodes Tamido is the same thing. Right? I don't think there's any grounds to differentiate between those two cases. But what about Shliach Beis Din? So the Ramban says, it's a totally different reason over here. First of all, let's look at Ava Maka Espino for a second. If the reason here is because of mitzvah, halav achi gali, but without the fact that it was a mitzvah to do so, he'd go to Golis. V'hashogei karav l'mezidu. He's a karav l'mezid in this case. I don't understand. The father comes up to the son, he gives him a whack, so he knows he's hitting him. So why isn't he called karav l'mezid? Why is he called shogeg? He's called shogi because he didn't mean to kill him, but that's why it's karav l'mezid and not mezid mamish, and he should be putter from gullus because he's not deserving of it. And he quotes the Gemara, Perakaminiyah chesakad, gabi hosifalu achas yisera. The Gemara there, we're not talking about lemaskan in the Gemara there, but the Gemara there, esakasha, says that I don't understand the case where the shliach Bezin is going to go to gullus. Why would he have gone to gullus? If you're going to say that he gave him an extra makah, they evaluate him to take 35 makas, and he gave him 36, right? So, first of all, he violated an Isser. What's the Isser? Lo Yosef Pen Yosef, right? The Isser of giving one extra makah. That's where we learn in the Torah, the Isser for one Jew to hit another Jew. Right? It's Isser Doraisa to hit another Jew from the Isser of Lo Yosef. Those were here last year. We spoke about that on Paintball Day, I think. Anybody remember that? Yeah, so... Is an Isser, what? Always? I don't know. So that's a favorite topic of mine. Anyway, so there's an Isser Doraisa to give out an extra makah. So if the guy's supposed to get 39 malchus and you give 40 malchus, you violate an Isser Doraisa the same way as if you walked over to somebody on the street and you punched him in the face. It's the same Isser. It's a Kal V'Chomer, the Gemara says. In the eighth paragraph of Avakam, Kal V'Chomer from the regular case of the Shliach Beis Din, who had Rishus to give him the first 39 makas, and he gives him a 40th makah, so he's chayiv, he violates an Issa Daraisa for that. So Kal V'Chomer, a guy who has nothing to do with hitting his friend, just walks over to his friend and punches him, so he's of course chayiv for an Issa Daraisa. So that's the way the Gemara has a Kal V'Chomer over there. But so too here, the guy who gives him an extra makah, he's certainly violating Lo Yosef, and in addition to that, he's killing the guy b'shogeg. He didn't mean to kill him. He meant to just hit him a little bit more. But he's killing the guy b'shogeg. And the Gemara says, if he gave him more makas than he was supposed to, so he shouldn't go to gullus, because he's karav l'mezid. He knew he wasn't supposed to give him that makah, and he gave him that makah. And therefore, it's a problem. Right? So he says, you see from that Gemara, if you give extra makas, even though it was a mitzvah to give the other makas, you're considered karav l'mezid. So too, the Ramban is asking over here, so too, with the Ava Maka Espino, if he gives him an extra Maka that he shouldn't have given him, and the kid dies, so he's Karav L'mezid. Shouldn't go to Golis. I believe that's the Kasha, no? Okay. So the Teretz is what? So he says, V'ika L'meimar, shiny Hasam, Kaven de Lo Havile, L'mimchie Lo Tvei, Mezid hu b'hakol la'aziko. In other words, there you intended to be mazik the guy. You went over to him. You wanted to hurt him. And that's why you don't go to Golis. So, but over here, oh, I'm sorry, not done yet. You should have thought in the back of your mind that it's quite possible that this guy is going to die. Right? If you only read the first part that I stopped at, then you have a wrong impression of the din. Meaning, the Ramban is saying, in the case of the Shliach Beis Din, who gives him an extra makkah and the guy dies, why doesn't he go to Golis? Because, very simply put, he understood when the evaluation was done that if this guy gets extra makos, he might die. Ah, you didn't intend for him to die, so you're not chayev misa. But you don't go to Golis. How could you go to Golis if you hit someone thinking in the back of your mind this taka might lead to his death?
Even if it was extra?
It was extra. No, that's the case. Yeah. The Gemara in Bava Kama has a kasha. The Gemara says, how can you have a case of Shliach Beis Din who's going to go to Golis? If he's going to say that, oh, it's because he gave him an extra makkah. So if he gave him an extra makkah, he doesn't go to Golis because he's Karav L'mezid. Right? So the Ramban is saying that why don't we just apply that same yisod to Ava Makkah Espino? Obviously the Ben didn't deserve this extra makkah, but haray, he died. Right? So generally speaking, most parents, even if they say from time to time, I'm going to kill you, will admit that their children are not deserving of death. Right? Hopefully. Most kids, I'm saying. So hopefully that's the case. And therefore, the father did not intend to kill the kid, but he clearly hit the kid too much because the kid died. So there's no question about it. He should not have done that. So why isn't that an exact parallel? So the Ramban is saying there's a difference. In the case of Shliach Beis Din, he hit the kid knowing full well that it was over the top. How does he know it was over the top? Beis Din said, give him 35, he gave him 36. Right? Shouldn't he give him the 36 mouth? So I didn't mean to kill him. Just wanted to let him feel the pain. You know? Okay, shkoyach. But the bottom line is, you did kill him. And it wasn't a regular show gig either, because in the back of your mind, you should have thought he might die from this, and that's why they told me not to give him number 36. And the Ramban continues, Mashen kein aval hacha. So the father's hitting the kid, he has rishus to do so. It's not his job to think, oh, maka number three is going to kill the kid. Of course, the father had never intended in a million years to kill the kid, and therefore, he didn't have to think in the back of his mind, maybe the kid's going to die. Mashenkein, the Shliach Beis Din, it's his job to think in the back of his mind, if I give this guy one extra makkah, he might die. And therefore, he's Karov Le-Mezid, as opposed to the Ava Makkah Espino. It's just a regular shogeg who hits somebody. If I walk over to somebody on the street, and I hit him, and then he dies, so I go to Golis. Why? Didn't I violate an Issa Chavala by hitting him? Of course you did. You were Mezid in the Issa Chavala, and you were shogeg on the Misa. Right? I didn't know the guy was going to die just because I saw him, he made fun of my favorite sports team. So, of course, he got to hit the guy. He had no choice, right? He made fun of your favorite sports team and all the other very good reasons that we have for hitting people. So he needs to be hit. So, yeah, I'm willing to take, for the glory of the Mets, I'm willing to take the Issa D'Oraisa. I'm willing to take the Issa D'Oraisa of hitting somebody. But Misa, I would never, no, he's not deserving of Misa for that. Right? And therefore, I'm chayev gullus when I hit the guy on purpose. It's not my job to keep in the back of my mind that the guy might die from this to the extent that I'm called karav le-mezid. You hear? Yes?
Just two questions. On the first, over there, the Shliach Beis Din, was the kavanah bad to mazik him or no?
Yeah, he clearly intended to be mazik him. He gave him an extra makkah. Why else is he giving extra makkahs? Again,
his only kavana was to hurt him, not to kill him.
Correct. That's why he's shogeg. Otherwise he's chayav misa.
Okay.
Meaning, if he gives him another makkah, thinking I hope this kills him,
right,
and then he does kill him, then he's chayav misa for that. Say, obviously, if he had ate him in a straw, whatever.
How does that work with the Gemara, though?
How does that work with the Gemara in Bava Kama?
Yeah, the Lashon
What do you mean? No, the Gemara. Yeah, yeah. He's only focusing on the Gemara's kasha. Gemara had a kasha. They said, how are we going to be mechayev this guy Golus if you're going to say that it's a case where he gave an extra makkah? So you can't do that. He's not chayev Golus because he's karav lemezid, right? So Ramban says, why is he karav lemezid? Because he should have had it in his mind. The guy might die. I don't think so. I don't think so. We don't generally assume the guy's going to die from that. But just as, you know, just as the Torah prescribes 39, thinking that that's what people can take, you know, so then when he gives 40, he should have in the back of his mind, listen, the Torah said enough is enough. I'm coming along and I'm hitting him. Maybe that's too much. You know, again, you could argue with what I just said, but I think that's true. Anyway, so this is the big difference. I want to add a little bit to this Ramban in terms of understanding what it means that the father didn't know the kid was going to die. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the idea that corporal punishment is not really used anymore, right? So, some places they still use it, and many of the great gedolim of our time and of the previous generation strongly were against hitting in any way. And I mean, specifically, if you read, Rav Volbe has a very nice little kuntres called Azriyav Abinyan Bechinuch, and he discusses that hitting the kid or yelling at the kid too much, it really doesn't accomplish anything, whether or not it used to work, maybe it did, and therefore, but nowadays, with the attitude of the children, it's not even shayach to think that you're going to accomplish anything by hitting the kid. And modern psychology also shows that nowadays, when you hit a kid, all you're doing is teaching him that, like, I can make you do what I want because I can hit you. And that doesn't really teach the kid anything valuable. Now, obviously, if you have a situation where it's necessary to avoid physical danger, so then, you know, people will say, I mean, like, people will say that you know, if the kid runs into the street and doesn't understand that you're not allowed to run in front of cars, so you have to sometimes take drastic measures, but don't forget that you don't want to hurt him worse than the car would hurt him. Saying you want to just make it such that the kid understands this is dangerous and this is going to cause physical harm. But if a person hits the kid just out of anger, which is, you know, la'aniyas daiti, people who hit children, I think, do so out of anger. They don't do so to teach the kids anything. I'm saying so. Did you guys check out those Rambams? Take a look in the Rambam. Did you look in the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos? Nothing? Okay. Well, take a look in the Rambam. Either, what should we look in? The Pirush Mishnayos or the Mishnah Torah? Does everybody have the Mishnah Torah here? All right. I'm getting no responses on anything, so I'm going to look in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah in Perek Hay of Hilchus Rotzeach. You look in the Rambam, Perek Hay of Hilchus Rotzeach. So it starts off, it says, Haben shahorag es aviv bishkoga gole, v'chein ha'av shahorag es bino bishkoga gole al yado. So the first things first, a father who kills his son goes to golus, right? That means that normally if a father hits a son, he's going to go to golus for it. Bamed var mamur b'shahorgo shalo b'shas limud, right? The father goes to golus if he wasn't trying to teach him anything. Osho yemelando, right? Or if he wanted to teach him a second job, right? He wanted to teach him a backup profession. We'll see, the Gemara is going to get into this later. That if he's going to teach him, if he's trying to be Malamdo Umnus, so then that's a mitzvah also. Where we had the Mishnah in Kiddushin that a father has a chiyuv to teach a trade to the son, right? So let's say he wanted to, this father is very, very nervous that his son's not going to be able to make a parnasa. So he already taught him how to be a surgeon. Now he wants to teach him how to be a lawyer. Right? He said every good Jewish boy has to be either a doctor or a lawyer, so I want my son to be a doctor and a lawyer, right? So he while he's teaching him law, he hits him to try to get him to, I don't know, behave better. Then the father is chayev golus because he already taught him a profession. This next thing is just it's being mahadur the mitzvah of teaching him a profession by teaching him multiple professions. So that doesn't count, right? Right? So what do you see from the formulation of the Rambam is that the stam case of a father hitting a kid, he goes to golus. There is an exception to the rule. The exception is if he was doing it in a certain context, then he's potter. But what you see is that there is, even within a father hitting a son, there is a big difference between what's considered, you know, for the shame of a mitzvah and what's considered stam, beating somebody up. Right? If the father, even if the father's trying to teach the son, let's say the father wants to teach the son a certain piece of Gemara and he's just incredibly frustrated that the kid can't chop the Gemara. So he just whacks him out of his frustration. That's chovel b'chavero. He's chayev for that. Saying if he cheshbens it 100% and he thinks that this is the way that it's going to teach him better, so okay. Then that's what the mitzvah is. But lemaisa, to have any kind of anger or to have any kind of hostility involved in hitting, there's no question that whether it's your son, whether it's some guy off the street, is an iser d'oraisa of chovel b'chavero. Yes?
Why does
right.
So
I mean, he does that. He gives you two sides of the coin a lot of times. Okay, so basically what we have here is an understanding. And also, by the way, if you look in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam, when he paskins the Gemara in the Gemara in Lo Yachpor, the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Chaf Aleph, discusses what they were talking about, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. You guys know who Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was? Rav Shmuel Bar, he's mentioning Suvis on Daf Samach, I believe. But he's Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was a Baki in Chinuch. He was the like the chief mechanech of his time. And Rav, I guess, was his rabbinic advisor. So Rav was telling Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas to, if you ever hit, when you hit the kids, you don't hit with a stick or with anything that's really going to hurt. You hit with a arkasa de mesana, right? What's an arkasa de mesana? Anybody remember? Anybody remember from Sanhedrin? And the Yehari Gal Yavar Sugya? Anybody know what I'm talking about? In Sanhedrin, they talk the shoelace, right? Good. So they have the Yehari Gal Yavar Sugya, and they say that there are certain things that are Yehari Gal Yavar, even a mitzvah kala. And the Gemara says, what's a mitzvah kala? Kigon, the shanos arkas in the mesana, that to change the shoelaces. That's a machlokas rishonim, what that means, to change the shoelaces. But okay, lemaisa, that's the other time in Shas where they mentioned the term arkas in the mesana. So two times. One is with regard to hitting the students, and one is regard to Yehari Gval Yavar. So the Gemara says, you hit with an arkas in the mesana. What do you mean? So you're supposed to take off your shoelace and whack the kid with it? Rashi says, talking about a makeh kala shelo yuzakba. Talking about a light hit that's not going to inflict any damage. Meaning, the type of hitting that's permitted, and this is, by the way, paskin by the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Mem Hei, Sif Yud, I just looked it up, Simen Reish Mem Hei, Sif Yud, in Shulchan Aruch, paskins exactly like this Gemara, that if a Rebbe wants to hit a student, and who then a father wants to hit a kid, so he's only allowed to do so with something very light, to take a, you know, the ruler does not go, or to you're supposed to use, it's supposed to be more symbolic than anything else. It's not supposed to be something which causes any kind of damage. And the Piskei Tshuva on that Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Reish Mem Hei, the Piskei Tshuva quotes a Shalchan Tshuva Sefer that I'm not familiar with, that he writes that there was a case where the Mechanech hit the kid and broke his leg, and he was Mechayev, the Mechanech, to pay Dalet Varm, meaning he was considered a regular Adam HaMazik. He was mechayev him to pay nezek, right? Tsar, shevis, ripui, and boshes, and he put him in a little bit of a nidui. He was mesarev him from his profession. He told him he's not allowed to work as a mechanech until he gets mechila from the kid, until the kid is mochel him for doing it. So lemaisa, it's not okay, right? It's not something which even in times way before our days, where the whole secular world is against corporal punishment, but even in the times of the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, it's not okay to hit in any way that causes damage. You can't. Nowadays, they don't hit at all. But I'm saying in those days, when they did hit, the type of hitting that was permitted was not hitting that hurts. It might be something which stings a little bit. It might be something which shows the kid how angry, you know, you're supposed to be. Right? You're not supposed to be angry either when you discipline. It's a good idea, by the way, in life. Whenever you discipline, whether it's as a parent or as a Rebbe, don't discipline when you're angry. Because then the kid just learns the message, when my father gets angry, I get punished. He doesn't learn to put the discipline together with the actual act that he did, right? Rather, as Rambam says, you're supposed to feign anger. You're supposed to do your best to try. Rambam's very against people getting angry in general. Rambam says you're supposed to fake getting angry. And when you're fake angry, so then you can, you know, calm down for real, and then you can punish. Because if you punish when you're angry, the kid doesn't learn anything. If you punish when you're calm, and you could tell the kid, listen, this thing that you did was wrong, and this is the result, you know, so then, and also, by the way, you won't have to take it back all the time. If you punish when you're angry, you're going to end up taking it back. Because you're going to realize you were just angry, and it was too harsh, and, you know, whatever. If you punish when you're not angry, you thought it through, then...
Isn't that the right you're punishing
the other thing? You're always punishing. Yeah. So Lamai said something good to keep in mind. But just getting back to the Ramban, so what do you see that the father had no havamina that the kid's going to die from this kind of hitting? Meaning he was just hitting him lightly and the kid died. So the kasha really is, why isn't that considered korav la'ones? I'm not sure. So, I don't know. But Lamaisa, we're talking about, we're not talking about the father took out a baseball bat and whacked the kid with it, saying that he gave him a patch which was very light, which wasn't supposed to inflict any damage, and the kid died. So the father would be chayev galus, except that he was do osek bidvar mitzvah. So that's what the Ramban wants to say. So this all works very nicely, within which case avamak espino. But what about a case of shliach beis din? So what are we going to say? So the Ramban says, you're going to misunderstand the Mishnah by Shliach Beis Din. It's not exactly what we're supposed to get out of it. Right? So he says, V'shliach Beis Din, mashma delav mishum mitzvah poter, ela mishum shekevan she'amduhu onus hu. Right? The Shliach Beis Din, the simple understanding in the case of Shliach Beis Din, why is he poter? Because it's Karav La'ones. It's Karav La'onis. Why is it Karav La'onis or Onus? Why is it Onis Mamish? Because they evaluated that he's able to take 35 makas. And he gave him, and on the 30th makah, the guy drops dead. So how could you blame the Shliach Beis Din for that? So really, you're going to argue that the reason he's Pater is because he was doing a mitzvah? That's also true. It's not a lie to say that it's Pater Mishum Mitzvah, but you don't even need to come on to that, because the real reason that he's Pater is... It wasn't his fault. It was an ones. Is it the guy who made the cheshbon's fault? So let's assume in our case it's nobody's fault. The guy just died. Sometimes it happens. Yes, meaning the Ramban is saying in a case. The Ramban was asking on the case of Ava Maka Espino from the case of Shliach Beis Din Bava Kama that he gave an extra maka. He never entertained that the case over here was a Shliach Beis Din who gave an extra makkah. He never entertained that. He's saying that the case over here is a regular example of a Shliach Beis Din giving malchus, and the guy just dies for no reason. The doctor checked him out. The dayan said, this is how many makkahs he can get, and then he just dies. People just sometimes die, right?
This is more of an onus
than when the father hits the son, because... That part I'm unclear on. Why is it more of an onus? I don't know. Meaning, because you could say it's more of an onus because before the father hit the son, the doctor didn't say, yep, he can take it. You know? So that's, I guess, why it's more of an onus. But I'm a little bothered why the son case is not karav la'onus. Meaning, since really you're just supposed to give a light maka that's not going to hurt at all, so why isn't that called an onus? If you gave the light maka that's not supposed to hurt at all, and the kid died from it, so that seems like a very similar onis to the case of Shliach Beis Din, where they said he could take it. I don't know what the answer is. Not sure. The only chiluk is the doctor part, where the doctor didn't say to the father, just give him a light patch and it'll be okay, right? I don't know. Yeah. If he does what?
If the father
hits his son, Stam.
Yeah,
so it's a regular issue of hitting anybody.
So what is the Aaron going to mean when he says that it's still a mitzvah even if the kid can't go?
Right, so you have to say that there's some toelis to that. we'll get to it a little bit later, but I'm saying there's different levels, meaning, listen, I'm not going to pretend that in Europe they didn't used to hit. You know, they hit a lot, and more or less it worked. Saying it was, some of them couldn't handle it. Some of the kids couldn't handle it, and they couldn't get into it. But there were many Rabbanim who fathers and Rabbanim who hit the kids and got the kids really working hard. You know, so I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
And this is a very, very big stretch. We can't just say that because the father was saying, because you take a second to think about it, it just acts spontaneously. Like we're going for Louise, because he might not have been acting with the purest intentions of hitting the kid to push him to get him to learn better. Because he acted so spontaneously and didn't even take that second to maybe think about it, therefore calling for Louise.
The father's Carvel Mazin? But nobody calls the father Carvel Mazin.
You're saying that there was one, that The vet is not onus.
He's not onus because he should have thought about it better.
And the vet,
meaning, but my kasha is mimon of shach. If he didn't think about it and he gave the kid too hard of a potch, that's not the mitzvah. So he's not mekayim the mitzvah. He doesn't have the p'tur. And if he did think about it and he gave the kid a small potch, so that's an onus anyway. You don't need to come on to the reason of the mitzvah. So I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay. Anyway. What? The combination of? No, but it's not. You don't just have to come on to Onis versus Mezid because you have the Ptur of Mitzvah. If you're under the guise of Mitzvah, so then it sounds like you're hitting him hard. That could have killed him. But you have a Heter of Mitzvah. Right? But that's not really, that doesn't shtim with the Gemara and Bava Basra, and that's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. And that's the way the Rambam himself paskins. So it's hard to... Hard to put the two together exactly. Unless you're saying that a father has the right to hit harder than a Rebbe, I don't know. That doesn't, it's not more mistaber to say that. Okay. I would think that indicates that it's the same idea. Yeah. That therefore the father and the Rebbe have the same inyan of hitting, not you're not going to be machal between one or the other. What?
Why they need two separate cases of the
Amen? Oh, okay, because Lamaise, it's not the same case. It's the same din, but a different case. It's not the same case. It's two different people. Okay, but the Mishnah doesn't leave everything for you to put two and two together. The Mishnah is telling you there's a father hits and a Rebbe hits. That's all. I don't think that's such a big kasha that it's. You might have thought maybe the Rebbe doesn't hit. I don't know. Okay. Does he get more makas? I don't know. Okay. So the Ramban wants to say that when it comes to the Shliach Beis Din, it has nothing to do with the heter of mitzvah. That's also true. But really, the reason he's pater is that it's karav le onis, not because of the reason of mitzvah. The reason of mitzvah is just icing on the cake. Let's take a look at the Tosos for a second. Dibra Maskel Afal Gav. So this is going on the end. Oh, just I didn't really explain this well. Let me just go back to the Gemara. It says Afal Gav the Gomer Mitzvah Ka'ovid. L'chora, this means that the father's work is never done. Meaning, you shouldn't think that if your kid can read Pashup Shak, Marashi, that you've fulfilled your job as a Rebbe or as a mechanic or a father. Or if the kid has, you know, fairly decent midos that the neighbors will think he's a nice boy, that you fulfilled your job as a father. Every kid has potential, ad kedei kach, they could achieve. And as a parent and as a Rebbe, it's your job to recognize that if every kid in your shir is on the exact same level, then you've obviously failed. Right? And if every kid in your family is on the exact same level, then you haven't done a good job raising them. Some kids have more potential in midos, some kids have more potential in lumdas, some kids have more potential in bekiyas, some kids have more potential in chesed. You know, so there's, if you haven't helped the kid achieve the potential that they're up to, by the time they're ready to leave your house or your shir or whatever, so you haven't done your job. So that's the idea that it's just saying that, well, let's say he's a good boy and he's doing his learning. He's doing his learning, that's very nice, but that doesn't mean there's never going to be an occasion to discipline him and tell him to work a little bit harder. You know, I think that's just what the Gemara is saying. Can't hear you. Yeah, but not just Alpi Darko, meaning that you can't be satisfied. Alpi Darko just means that in general, each kid will receive a different message. You can say the same thing to five people. Right, also not just on the Derech, but Chanoch Lerner Alpi Darko Be'etzem definitely includes what you're saying, but it also includes that some kids learn differently than others, and some kids are interested in different things than others, and that's not a bad thing. That's the way Hashem made the world. You know? So, you know, I always like to joke that the most, what's the most important aspect of Avodas Hashem? What's the most important aspect of Avodas Hashem? Whatever you were already good at before you tried. That's generally speaking. If you talk to somebody, they're focused. This person, they're very wealthy, and they love giving tzedakah. So to them, supporting Torah institutions and chesed organizations, that's by far the most important thing. Yeah, whatever, so I can't read the Aramaic books, you know? I don't read a book. I'm saving lives here with my money, you know? That's the most important thing. You know, and they have another guy who's not so into chesed, he's not so into tzedakah, but he loves learning. He just intellectually, emotionally loves it. So of course he's going to be like, Talmud Torah, Kenegi Kula, what are you, chesed? Chesed's for girls! You know, what do you get wasting your time with chesed for? You know, what are you, tzedakah? What are you, tzedakah? You spend the money on more svarim. You know, and then you get the other guy says, oh, dafka, davening is the ikker, because the guy's a very passionate, soulful person, and he's going to say davening is... Whatever you were naturally inclined to do, that's all of a sudden the most important part of Avodas Hashem. Right? It just goes back to an egocentric view of the world. L'maisa, you know, you have to... People have kochos in certain directions, but they have to try to develop constantly and grow and expand their horizons. They can't just go, you know, they can't just go with what you were already good at before. So the Gemara is saying here that the father has a chiyuv to continue to discipline the kid, ad kedei kach, that the kid is able to really grow to his full potential in all areas. Okay. So a little about Tosfos. So Tosfos says akasha mikom. So he says mikom makom. Kosha mishliach beizdin, the kaven the iluloka kvar lav mitzvah ka'ovid. So he says, wait a minute. We said, how do we know that chativas eitzim for the maracha is not a mitzvah? Because why? If you already had eitzim for the maracha, you don't have to cut more. So when it comes to hitting the kid also, if he's a good boy, you don't have to hit him again. And then he said, well, no, even if he's a good boy, there's still more work to be done. Right? So then he says, but that doesn't follow through to Shliach Beis Din. Shliach Beis Din, if he already gave the Malkus, there's no more Malkus to be given. You hear the Kasha? So that's the Kasha of Tosfos. So you should argue that giving the Malkus is also not a mitzvah. It's only some type of a Hechsher mitzvah. If the litmus test for what's a mitzvah versus what's some type of a hechsher mitzvah is, if you already are out of the situation where you require it, there's no inyan to do it now, so there's no inyan to walk over to somebody on the street. There's no inyan to walk over to somebody on the street and say that here I'm going to give you 39 lashes, right? If he didn't do the Avera and he's not chayiv the Malkus, you don't give him the Malkus. So once he got it, he got it. It's just like the Atzim Arocha already caught. So what's the answer? I don't really know if I understand this answer. It says, Yesh Lomar, the Mikol Makom, Ika Mitzvah Mitchila, Mashen Kein Bechativas Eitzim De Sukkah. Right? So he just says, a very push of the Teretz. There's a big difference that if there's a mitzvah to give Malkus, it's clearly a mitzvah. Mashen Kein the Marocha, if you already had the eitzim cut, there's no mitzvah, and there was never a mitzvah. There are some times where people are going to need malchus, right? And your mitzvah is to give it to them. There's never a time where there's a mitzvah to cut the wood for the maracha. That's the difference. So the litmus test that the Gemara comes out with, that, well, just see what the din is when you don't have any. So what the Gemara means to say, according to Tosfos, is, even when you don't have Atzei Maracha, there's no mitzvah to cut them. You need them, so cut them. But there's no mitzvah to cut them. Masha'enkin, everyone agrees that when someone needs Malkus, it's a mitzvah to give the Malkus. So that's the difference. So he's saying, don't take the Gemara too literally when the Gemara says that that by the Atzei Maracha, it's all tully in whether or not they were cut before. That's one nafgamina, right? Between the difference between the Atzei Maracha and Sukkah. And then when the Gemara asked, what about the kid? There's no mitzvah to hit the kid. So Inachinami, that was the Gemara saying that there could be, you can go an entire life and never hit the kid. Right? Why? Let's say the kid, he's an angel when he's born, he's an angel when he's a teenager, he's an angel when he's an adult. When was there ever an occasion to discipline the kid? He never did one thing wrong in his life. Right? So the Gemara answers, you still got to discipline him. Still a mitzvah. You hear? Okay. No, but do you understand what I'm saying? So Tosus is saying the difference in the Gemara, the Havamina was that this is the real test, whether or not you need to cut them if they're already cut. And the Gemara is answering, no. It means, would it ever be a mitzvah to do it if you had to? Right? That's Tosus' expansion on the Gemara. All right. Guys, I know I can't compete with rain. I mean, rain is just so exciting. What? Okay, so Baruch Hashem. So, just do your best to pay attention anyway. You may want to move that sitter. What? Shekocho grosam ole olam is on thunder, and osam ha'as gracious on lightning.
Also, osam ha'as gracious in general, we also say that on whenever you go see something like this,
or Birch Sachama. Or Birch Sachama.
Yeah, and I was like,
rainbow's different. But okay.
All
right, let's continue. So the Ramban staved off the need for this kasha. Tulsa's kasha was a good kasha, where we needed to explain the Gemara a little differently, but the Ramban specifically did not need this kasha, and he didn't need to come onto this teretz. Why not? Ramban saved himself from needing Tosas' kasha. Look at the hemshech of the words of the Ramban. Yeah? He says that Shlich Bezin is what? No, before we, without even getting that complicated. Right. Meaning the real reason for Shliach Bezin being putter is not the mitzvah part. It's because it's Korav La'onis. Right? And if you look, that's the Ramban's raya that he's right. If you look in the Hemshech of the Ramban, it says, even though they included it in the Mishnah with the others, it's not the same. Teda, and my raya is, mitzvah ka'avid, dichsiv yasser bincha, v'lo makshin on mishliach beizdin, d'ilu lo avar lav mitzvah. We don't ask the kasha. Let's say the guy didn't do an avera, there's no mitzvah to hit him. Right? So the Ramban is saying, the fact that you need to ask Tosas kasha is a raya that you're misunderstanding the yisod of shliach beizdin. Shliach beizdin is not potter because of the mitzvah, rather he's potter because it's korov le'ones. Right? And then he goes on, and he gives Tosas his answer in the second one, right? Says, "Inami ikal meimar shliach beizdin kevan she'avar mitzvahu la'akoso shal mitzvah sase mafurashu batora vihikol." Right? So he's saying that it's obviously a mitzvah sase d'oraisa when the guy violates the avera to give him the malchus. So you don't have to. That's Tosas's part. If you look in the Tosfos, if you look in the end of Tosfos for a sec. So he says, "Beleka lemeimar nami kevan de ilu lo chata lav mitzvahi." Right. So you can't argue. Well, maybe the guy would never do an aver in his life, and there's not going to be a mitzvah to give him malchus. Why can't you say that? So he says, "Pashut," because the hahi lav shliach bezin mikre. Right? That you wouldn't be a Shliach Bezdin to begin with. Shliach Bezdin presupposes that Beis Din needed you to do this mitzvah. So he says that's a klutz kasha. You don't ask that kasha. But the Ramban basically says the fact that they didn't ask that kasha means that Shliach Beis Din should not be grouped in the category of one who is potter because it's a mitzvah. So that's the basic difference between Tosfos and Ramban. Yeah. He says the reason is also there, meaning you also have the Ptur of Mitzvah, but it was really just thrown in there as an add-on, because it really the main reason is Karav La'onis. That's, I think, the way, but it's leaking all over.
No, it's raining sideways during the fan.
It's because of the fan that's whipping it around?
No, over here, there's a vent there getting the air.
Uh-huh.
And it's raining sideways.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's
when it's windy. Anyway, okay. Okay, guys. Let's continue. All right. Let's take a look in the Rambam. Let's take a look in the Rambam to try to decipher. The Rambam has a different example of the Shliach Beis Din case than the Ramban did. Take a look. If you have a Rambam, please open it up. Let's start. We read Perek Hey Alacha Hey. Let's read Perek Hey Alacha Vav. V'chein Rav Amakes Talmido O Shliach Beis Din Shehika Es Bal Din Hanimna Milavo Lidin V'heimiso B'shkoga. Turin min agola shenemar lach tov etzim ledivrei harishus yotza avas amakas benova rav erodes tamido v'shlech beis din shaharei shagagu v'horgu b'shas siyas hamitzvah. So the Rambam says, what's the case? Not like the Ramban. Rather, what's the case of the shliach beis din? Guys, the guy wouldn't come to beis din. So the halacha is, we say, shoftim v'shotrim tidim l'chol sharecha. The shotrim are allowed to be maka the guy to get him to schlep to Beis Din to undergo his court case. Correct. The Rambam is saying, of course the reason for all of them is mitzvah. Aye, then you're going to be stuck with the Ramban's kasha. How's it ever going to work out for you? So he says, you're right. It can't be talking about a shliach Beis Din giving regular malkus. Has to be some type of Makas Mardus here. Has to be some type of a other undefined Malkus. Because otherwise it's already covered. If it's under the guise of giving the right amount of Malkus, it's clearly an Ones, so we don't need to come on to the reason of Mitzvah. And if it's under the guise of you know, that he gave him extra Malkus, so then of course he goes to Golis for that. Or he doesn't go to Golis because Karavla amaze it. Right? So the Rambam is saying, you're stuck. You don't have any case upon which to rely, so you have to come on to this chiddush of a case where it's talking about outside of the standard laws of Malkus, there are other mitzvos to give Malkus as well, like Makas Mardus, and that's a case where the guy kills him accidentally and he goes to Golis. He would go to Golis normally, but since it's a mitzvah, he doesn't go to Golis. And if you look in the Asagas Arayvin here, he's very upset about it. Says Omer Avram, Zu lo shamanu me'olam, el shliach beis din shehu malke mimashamdu beis din umeis tachas yado. Right? Standard case, like the Ramban. He was giving the right amount of malchus, and the guy just died. Right? So he says, that other case, he says, I don't want to go too fast. Why does he not like the Rambam? He says a famous case like this gets left out of all of Shas? We don't have any cases of people running to get people and beating them up, and that's called the mitzvah of the Shliach Beis Din. That's not what the Gemara means when it says the Shliach Beis Din. He says, you'll point to the Gemara in Moed Katan, where he says, V'hada amrinon dekaftinon v'asrinon v'avdinon hardafa. Yeah, the Gemara does talk about times where we'll put the guy in jail and we'll beat him up a little bit. Hanu Lebalei averus achiyachsuru b'hem. That's talking about if a guy is doing averus, and we want to get him to do tshuva, so we give him makas mardus. Right? But that's not what the Rambam's case was. The Rambam's case tried to get some guy to schlep to court. So he says, who would call that guy who beats him up? A shliach Beis Din. So the Ravid is very not happy with this Rambam. But Lemaisa, we just explained why the Rambam makes a lot of sense. Because if you learn like the Ravid, you're stuck with the Ramban's Kasha. You're basically saying that the Mishnah doesn't line up. The case of the Av and the Rav, that is a case of mitzvah. And the case of Shliach Beis Din, that's a case of Karav L'mezid, or excuse me, Karav L'ones. So why would we want to line the Mishnah up like that? The Aruch Laner is another reason for the Rambam that's not so compelling, but he basically says that the Shliach Beis Din giving Malkus is Mefurish Bekra, as a mitzvah doraisa, whereas the Av HaMakes Beno is a case where it's written in Psukim and Nach. So why would the Mishnah not lead off with something which is Beferish B'Torah in favor of something which is a Pasuk in Nach? So he says, must be that the type of Malkus that the Mishnah is describing is not the type of Malkus that are Mefurish B'Kra either. You hear the idea? So it's not so compelling. I saw a teretz, I don't remember who said it. It's not such a compelling raya because you could just answer back very pashut that why maybe the Mishnah is just going in the order of what's most common. It's most common the Av Makas Beno, second most Rav Makas, but Rav Rodas Tamido, and third most common is Beis Din giving Malkus. So it's not a great taina in favor of the Rambam, but I think the other taina is an excellent taina in favor of the Rambam. That you're not going to find a case where it's even any kind of a chiddush. And not only that, but the Mishnah later on talks about a shliach Beis Din that's giving Malkus and how when he does and when he doesn't go to Golus. So it's not really much of a chiddush at all for the Ramban. And the Ramban just has to defend himself by saying, yeah, but there's still a shtickle mitzvah thrown in there as well. There's two reasons why the shliach Beis Din is potter. One is karav le'ones, and one is mitzvah. So since mitzvah applies, they just threw it in there with the other two. The Rambam's not satisfied with that. That's also, you can find this explanation very briefly alluded to in the Meiri. If you get a chance to see that Meiri, the Meiri basically says, the reason I like the Rambam's shot is the kashas that we just mentioned on the Ramban. Yes? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. The Rambam, does the Rambam change his lashon? Chena Rava Makes Talmido. Right, because then he's quoting the lashon on Mishnah. But when he was describing the Yesod, seems to be saying that it's just the same thing, just a little bit of a poetic license. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's true, but I don't know the difference. Okay, good. So this is the basic machlokas. So I just wanted to get involved a little bit. What time is it? What? 25? Okay, so we'll go for a couple minutes until they get here. Let's just talk a little bit about this idea of where it comes from that there's this patur if you're doing a mitzvah. So on one hand, you could say it's just gzeiras hakasav, right? Xerius HaKosov says that, you know, it's a ya'ar, or it's chotev etzim, and therefore it's talking about a dvar rishus, except for a dvar mitzvah, which is not so. But we find other times where there's also a p'tur, where you're doing a dvar mitzvah, specifically in Bava Kama, when we talk about a person who's mazik something. There are two different cases in Bava Kama where they talk about Adam HaMazik, that he is one that he should be off the hook. One is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Andaf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, sorry, but Goran Bokav Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, that if somebody was running home on Erev Shabbos and he's mazik somebody else, he is potter, and he says Mishum Derotz Birshus. Right, and the Gemara then says, what's the mitzvah, the big mitzvah that he was doing there? So they say that, what do you mean? He's trying to greet the Shabbos Malka. He's trying to be home in time for Shabbos so that he can be prepared in advance of Shabbos and make sure that everything is set. What? So he's saying the mitzvah is to be ready for Shabbos. There's a big mitzvah apparently to be ready for Shabbos and to precede Shabbos by you going on your way to greet the Shabbos Malka, much as we do nowadays with the mitzvah of with the Kabbalah Shabbos. And the second case is a case of near Chanukah, where the storekeeper left his Chanukah candles outside, and they tipped over and burned something down. So this is a Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah on Sanach Beis and Beis, but it's also the Gemara on Lamed Amid Aleph that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you're putter because you left it there, Birshus Mitzvah. Okay, so Mirz Hashem, we'll continue with this hopefully on Wednesday.